Jake from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And this week, we are going to talk about Saturday Night Live's first episode of 2019.
Woo!
From January 19th, season 44, episode 10, Rachel Brosnahan hosting Greta Van Fleet musical guesting, or as autocorrect on my phone
musical,
put it...
Musical guesting?
Musical guesting. That's how I like to phrase it.
I like it.
That's my little trait. I was doing that on Facebook.
What, musical guesting?
Yeah. Well, like when back when... Before we started this podcast, this started out as Darren and I just riffing on Facebook as the show aired.
Yes.
And other people would join in, and our producer, Frank Kablawi, came to us and said, you should make this into a podcast.
Right. He just walked up and said, you guys got something here.
And he was smoking a big cigar at the time. He's like, you got moxie, kids.
How would you like to be a big star?
Yeah. And
that's how he talks.
And I just got in the habit of saying such and so hosting, such and so musical guesting. And have you just now noticed that? I've been doing that for like a year or more.
I don't listen to this podcast. I don't know if you noticed. I just kind of zone out a lot and just talk and talk.
Okay.
But that guest co-hosting musical guesting thing, that's a great term. You should like copyright it.
Okay.
So, fill out the paperwork.
I will do that. So this was the show. It was Rachel Brosnahan from Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, are you familiar with the show? Or?
I'm familiar with the show. I never got around to actually checking out the show.
Oh, it's a good
show. I know it is about a stand-up comedian lady.
Yes.
Back in the early 60s.
Late 50s. I mean, basically the rundown is she's like a mom and a wife, a Jewish wife. They live in the Upper West Side, and her husband's like super into comedy, so he drags her to comedy clubs and see stand-up comedy. But mm-hmm. she's just naturally funny; she's always like making people crack up and laugh. And then one day she finds out her husband's been having an affair, and just kind of leaves, and she gets kind of despondent and brokenhearted over it. And she like one day just like drunkenly goes down to the comedy club that her husband always dragged her down to, and like she just starts riffing on stage and just start talking. You're getting up on stage even though she wasn't booked, and like Alex Borstein's character who works there was like listening to her riff and was like, oh, whoa, she's really good. And so now she really likes stand-up comedy, so she's tries to be a stand-up comedian without her parents and her family knowing it.
Oh, so it's like a secret life.
Yes, very much so. Like she wants to keep this, perfect Jewish wife and mother facade. Her family is very strict and whatnot, but at the same time she's also falling in love with doing stand-up. She meets Lenny Bruce actually plays a pretty prominent character throughout the show, and it's about her balancing the two worlds between newly divorced woman and a stand-up comedian.
Okay, that's interesting.
It's a good show. This show definitely kind of made her. I mean, before this, she was on House of Cards for a bit. She was on, I believe, The Blacklist, and she had done like a bunch of TV stuff here and there. But like now, after this show, she's like, she got an Emmy and a Golden Globe, two Golden Globes. Right out the gate. So it's like, this is she's
or the show has won two Golden Globes.
But she won one too.
She won like this last Golden Globes, I think.
Yes, and she got the Emmy, and I believe maybe People's Choice or something else like that. But like, she's like really, she's taking off.
She's the it girl.
She's the hot box.
She's the girl of the moment.
That's right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
She's hot stuff.
She's a hot bag of Doritos.
Is that a phrase?
It's.
Is that your phrase that you're gonna?
If musical guesting can be a phrase, I don't know why a hot bag of Doritos can't be a phrase.
Okay, that's like a more modernized all that in a bag of chips.
Yes.
Okay.
Because we eat Doritos now, we don't eat chips.
That's true.
That's right.
That's true.
I know what the kids like.
Yeah, we are still relevant.
Yes.
Okay. Should we dive into the show?
Let's dive into the show.
Okay. So we had the cold open, which was a Deal or No Deal on the government shutdown edition.
Topical.
They announced that it was with Howie Mandel, but it was not Howie Mandel hosting. It was Kenan Thompson as Steve Harvey.
Right.
Because Kenan does a Steve Harvey.
Yes. I guess no one does a Howie Mandel, so.
Didn't Kyle Mooney play Howie Mandel at least once before?
He did it once, but I guess it's not a great Howie Mandel.
I guess Lorne didn't like his Howie.
Yeah, so the way they excused it, they said, to me, Steve Harvey, Howie Mandel, he shook hands with somebody, even though he's got the OCD.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he turned out he got Ebola from the guy. So, yeah.
Yeah.
My bad, Howie. Yeah.
That's cute.
You can, that can happen.
And we had Alec Baldwin returning as Donald Trump.
Of course.
And they say, we're doing this thing on the government shutdown in the only format you could understand, a TV game show with women holding briefcases.
He's not wrong.
It's a good line.
It's a good line. Yeah.
And we had actual members of Congress holding briefcases, and despite what they say, some of them are male.
Yeah, that's right.
So, conceptual hole right in the middle of the opening sketch.
Wow.
I'm coming out hot.
Wow. Jeez Louise. You're a hot bag of Doritos today.
That's right, sir. We had Kate McKinnon as Nancy Pelosi. I don't believe she's played Pelosi before.
No, she's played pretty much every other political person. She has so many impressions of people in politics.
It was honestly weird to see her playing a woman in politics.
Yeah, no, she's done it before. She did Hillary. She was
Hillary Clinton. I know, but I've gotten so used to her playing the men in the Trump administration.
That's true, yeah. It's like, oh yeah, she can do a woman too. She can do it all.
And let's see, we had Alex Moffat as Chuck Schumer.
He does a pretty good Schumer.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. He's got a take on him.
Yeah, he's definitely got. Yeah, he just like puts his glasses on the rim of his nose.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's
the joke there was he was like immediately giving Trump everything he wanted.
like whatever you want.
And like the joke with Kate was like Pelosi was kind of getting off on.
Yes.
On not giving Trump everything he wants.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And that she was like drunk with power, which I don't know if that's a accurate read on Pelosi. I don't get that sense personally, but
I mean, it depends on where your politics lie. I guess. I mean, I guess you could sort of see. I mean, I do like the fact that they're kind of ribbing the Democrats as much as they do the Republicans.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You can sort of see she might. You can see how somebody would. Get off on like that power.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and they absolutely should be satirizing Democrats as well as Republicans.
Absolutely.
But I don't know. I was like, oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that was.
Yeah. Well, that's probably will be their thing going forward.
And we had Beck Bennett returning as Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. He didn't say much. But,
well, he was basically playing Mitch McConnell as a turtle hiding behind the briefcase.
Yes.
Which I think is a funny read on Mitch McConnell.
He's a human turtle, Mitch McConnell. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He is.
He's just a
tortoise. He's Yertle the turtle.
Yes, he's a...
I had to draw Mitch McConnell, and like I sent in the ad on the back of the comic book, and they told me I could have a career in the arts.
Nice. Oh, that's a deep pull.
It is. All the geeks in our audience will enjoy that. God.
All the nerds are just like, just nerding out.
Just like, Tippy!
Tippy.
I drew the pirate. And let's see, who else did we have? We had, they had a line that said Trump was playing for Habitat for Hannity.
Yes.
For Sean Hannity. Fox News' Sean Hannity.
And their sponsors were Green Beef, because no one's checking the beef right now. Yeah.
That was great.
Oh, and old woman in an inner tube.
Yes, in the middle of the ocean. And we had Leslie Jones as Maxine Waters.
Yep.
And we had Melissa Villaseñor as...
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yes, which I called on our Facebook page that she was going to be playing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah, I can see...
Within the next few months.
Yeah, that was pretty much a no... That's a...
I mean, no-brainer.
Slam
right?
dunk. Yeah, part of me thinks like Melissa is really happy that Alexandria's taken off like she has.
I mean, yeah.
She's like, oh, more screen time, finally.
You know, someone I can imitate or play. You know, yeah. I mean, a Latina cast member, young Latina member of Congress. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, if they gave that role to anybody else, people would be upset.
Yeah, you don't want like Heidi Gardner playing her. That's not a good look.
You do not.
and let's see. And Ego Nwadim showed up towards the end as Cardi B.
Yes, shmoney.
Yes,
which is a word I learned.
And towards the very end, there was Pete Davidson as a Clemson guy with hamburgers.
Yeah,
parodying the Trump's thing from this week, where he got hamburgers from all sorts of fast food joints, and he was serving those to the Clemson athletes, and people loved that or hated that or were indifferent to that.
That was God.
That was one of those stories that was just so stupid every possible point of view that I didn't even want to bother with.
Yeah,
it.
I just turned it off and just like. Just took a nap.
I think that's a good call.
Just rub my temples and like I can't anymore. I just can't.
So that was the opening. It was all right. It was cute.
It was fine. It wasn't
It didn't blow me away.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. So next week we had the monologue.
Monologue
with Rachel Brosnahan as Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon Prime. She comes on. Cecily Strong does a walk on.
Yes.
And they start a song called "Let's Have Fun."
Right, because this is the first song. This is the first show of the new year, 2019. And of course, saying, you know, there's so much despair and terrible news. Let's try to have fun. Let's just try to get through this. And as they sing the song, they bring up things that are happening that they really should be paying more attention to.
Right, right. Yeah.
So, and in a way, that's kind of calling themselves out on, you know, them not being like them. Like you could sing a song, but just let's have fun. But at the same time, you got to be mind. You can't be, you know, turn a blind eye to all the horribleness that's happening.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably like, probably most everyone in comedy is going through that to some degree. It's like, you know, do we provide a distraction from all that's going on in the world?
Right.
And is that enough? Or do we call out all the shit that's going on in the world?
Yeah, that's right.
And
true.
Is that enough?
It's a weird balancing act. Yeah. I think, well, one of the people that this kind of happened to was like the Tina Fey sketch with the sheet cake and how she was being called out for being tone deaf on it about, you know, it's like, you know, you're just saying just eat cake and don't pay attention to all this, you know, horribleness that's happening to us. That's not the right tone. So
it's
the same thing here. We're just like, we're trying to have fun. We're trying to have a little levity at, you know, in the sea of, you know, garbage, but at the same time, you can't be tone deaf to it and just turn a blind eye.
And we had Keenan come out and sing with him, and Adie Bryant came out and sang with him, and Kyle Mooney at one point comes out and they're like, oh, Kyle, can you go back and get someone who can sing?
Yeah, and then that kind of bothered me a little, because like part of me was thinking, I was hoping Melissa would come out because she can sing.
Yeah,
like I mean during the break, I went to this kind of, I fell on this kind of Melissa Villaseñor wormhole, and like she's like way more talented than I thought she was, and like I don't know if the show is showing that. Like when they said oh, get somebody that can sing, I was hoping they'd bring on Melissa because she can sing, and they brought out Adie, who's okay singing.
I think Melissa's probably still at that level where she's probably not considered quite recognizable enough that you're bringing her out in the monologue or using her in the promos, you know.
But she's been there for a bit, right? Hasn't it been like four years?
Not that long, surely.
I feel
right?
like it's been like 4 years.
I was thinking two.
No,
are we gonna have to look this up now?
We're gonna have to look this up.
God damn it! Now I have to do research. Okay.
I feel like she's been there for a minute, and it's just I don't know. I mean, guys, call in. Let me know if I'm nuts, but I feel like they're just not showcasing her talents as much as they should.
Okay. We're coming up. We got Melissa Villaseñor. Okay. I'm going to the Wikipedia because that is the first.
Wikipedia.
Currently a cast member. She joined in the 42nd season. We're in the 44th now, so she's been on for 2 years. In your face, Patterson.
Oh, God damn.
Your face.
I have been served.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, I don't know. Part of me still feel like they should showcase her more. Because, like, as I said, I fell down that Villaseñor wormhole, and she does all these awesome impressions. Like, she does these impressions of comedians.
Yeah.
Too. Like, she does a great...
Sarah Silverman.
Wanda Sykes. Whitney Cummings. She does a good Whitney Cummings.
Have we seen her Whitney Cummings on the show?
I don't think so. I mean, but that's because Whitney is like that comic that I feel like a lot of middle America may or may not know.
Oh, wow. She's the first Latina cast member in SNL history. I didn't realize that.
Ever. I mean, I genuinely can't think of anybody. Well, no. What about Horatio Sanz? Wasn't
Latina?
Female. Latino. Oh, with the A,
not Latino or Latinx. Is I think the gender neutral
Latinx.
Latinx.
I believe so.
My apologies to all our Latinx listeners.
We are learning today.
We are. Yeah.
But like, she does a great Whitney Cummings, which I'm pretty sure they haven't shown on the show. She does a great Maria Bamford. She does a great. Kate Micucci for all the comedy nerds, but I don't know. I feel like
maybe
just
it's just those people are just tough to write sketches around or something. I don't know.
I guess.
I mean, she's really talented, and I don't know. But I just don't know if we've seen her break in a big, big way yet. I'm not saying that
we
shouldn't.
We haven't.
But she's not. She's either not at the level or not considered at the level that somebody like Cecily or Keenan or even Adie Bryant.
I can see it.
I think.
I guess so.
Because those guys are sort of the face of the show.
Yeah. They're more...
You see them in the promos with the host and the musical guest, and you see them pop up in the monologue as themselves.
They're more in the front and forefront.
Yeah.
Right.
And Melissa's still at that point where it's like, well, what characters do you have?
I guess so, yeah.
I think.
Yeah, well, she's, at least she's above a Luke Null or something, so that's good.
Well, yeah. Yeah, good to not be fired after less than a season.
Wow.
Ironically enough, like the 10 p.m. rerun was from about a year ago where Will Ferrell last hosted.
Oh.
And the funny thing was, like, Cecily and Keenan, they both pop up in the monologue in that one, too.
Wow.
And Luke Null was still in the cast.
Wow.
And he had a little bit part. He was beatboxing.
Oh, he was?
What? They were doing a they did a sketch where Will Ferrell and Chris Redd and 80, they were the flight attendants on an airplane, and they were rapping the flight instructions.
Oh.
And they had Luke Noel was a passenger who was like, "Oh no, I couldn't possibly be," you know, and just immediately.
Okay, all right, I do remember that.
So,
one. All right.
It was okay. It's not it wasn't great.
It's not a classic.
No.
Oh. Well,
no. But
next time.
Anyway, so that was.
Oh yeah, so that was the monologue.
That was
right.
The monologue.
Wow, we go off on
we
go off on tangents.
We do.
All right, but yeah, the monologue, it was all right. It was like, you know, sing songy, and then them talking about how terrible everything is.
It was fine. It was cute.
It's fine. Yeah, the first sketch, Action 9 News.
Action 9 News at 5 with Kate McKinnon as the anchor.
Yes,
Mikey Day is a reporter reporting on an earthquake.
At the Social Security building.
Okay, and people were waiting to get their names changed.
Yes.
And I wrote down, and the joke here was that everybody had humorous
ridiculous
names.
Yes.
The kind of names that you'd call up Mo on The Simpsons and give to him over the
it
phone.
It was very Mo up from The Simpsons. I mean, it's a simple premise. I mean, look, it's if you like, you know, goofy, childish names.
Yeah, we had.
If you go ahead.
We had Keenan as Donald McRonald, Kyle Mooney as a man with the last name of Penis. I didn't get his first name.
Mark Penis.
Mark Penis. Okay.
P-E-A-N-U-S.
Some of the other names were Ty Niedendick. Todd Coble.
Todd Cobell.
Taco Bell. Yeah. Because I wrote them. I wrote these down how they had them spelled on the show.
All right.
Pete Ophelia. Holden Two Dicks. And then Heidi Gardner pops up. She's Julie with the last name was spelled the same as the N-word.
But
and
it's spelled, they say, whoa.
They said it, they said
almost,
it,
whoa.
They said it rhymes with cigar.
Rhymes with cigar. It you pronounce like it that way.
It was a French pronunciation.
Yes. But then Leslie Jones said, oh, then you sound like a British person saying the N-word.
Yeah. And when they displayed her name on screen, they just had her last name blurred
they
out.
They blurred it out. And Beck Bennett was Alan Hitler.
Oh yes, and it turns out he was actually related to Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, but then there's this one part I thought was clever where he said, "Oh, I'm kind of ashamed of my last name." He just put like the initial, and then so they put his name as A. Hitler.
Yeah.
They put the initial in the first name, instead of the last. and then there was a person named Keith Queef.
Keith Queef. I didn't write that one down.
Oh, I did.
But.
I mean, yeah.
But you know what? Oddly enough, I did use the word queef later in my notes for the show.
What?
The word queef came up a couple times.
It did?
It did.
When did it come up? I don't remember.
Well, I'm going to hold you in suspense.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. Teaser.
Wow.
Stay tuned. And the kicker at the end was then they cut back to Kate McKinnon, and she gives her last name as Carol Cum Dungeon.
Do I enjoy... You know, well-written jokes and smartly written, you know, sketches and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Yes. Will I laugh as a child at, you know, Carol Cum Dungeon? Yes, I will. I'm just, you know.
I like the name Carol Cum Dungeon. You gotta
Cum Dungeon?
And it was spelled with a K, by the
right.
way.
Right.
Because the other would be crude.
Yes, it's NBC. Come on, there's the children watching.
Yeah, they probably had to be very careful
how they spelled
this stuff.
You know they did.
To get it past standards and practices. But
you know they did. And like, I also like another thing in the sketch where Kate McKinnon's character was like slipping in like little puns.
About the
earthquake. It's like, so is there any reason, does anybody know who's at fault with this earthquake?
Are you all shaken up? And yeah, she was just making inappropriate jokes.
Yeah.
That was an interesting runner through the sketch.
I
like it when they have a secondary thing of humor.
Yeah, a little bit, another second layer. I mean, I thought it was a cute sketch. I mean, you know, it's immature, yeah, but did it make me chuckle? Yes. So maybe I'm immature. But
yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing.
Don't you judge me.
I'm judging you. Not about that, but I'm judging you.
Okay, good. But yeah, it's a, you know, cute little sketch. It seemed like something like a local improv troupe would come up with, but I dug it.
Yeah, if you were coming up with those names off the top of your head.
Yeah, like somebody, yeah.
That sketch was probably written very late at night. And
when everybody's tired and just writing,
I mean, most of the sketches are probably written late at night, but
it's Saturday. It's Saturday night.
Yeah, but that. Well, I don't think they were actually on Saturday.
What? They don't write.
Well, they revise on Saturday. But
okay, all right. Jesus, give me a heart attack there.
Next, there was a film segment about women avoiding unwanted small talk from men, and they had they were advertising a product called Leave Me Alone, which was a fake urn that you could use to pretend you were about to scatter someone's ashes to make these men go away.
Right.
And stop talking to you.
Yes, because apparently, I guess it happens, like when a woman is out camping or doing yoga on a beach or something like that, dudes will approach.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to combat that is to pretend you're scattering your dead loved one's ashes.
Yeah, because it makes the moment so awkward, they will immediately want to retreat. I think they said 50 feet.
Yeah.
To give you enough space.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
My main thought on this was, oh, well, someone got harassed over the Christmas break.
I'm sure tons of people did. I don't doubt that this is something that happens to a lot of women. But,
oh, yeah, no, it doesn't.
But, yeah, I'm sure, like, something like this had happened to somebody and just like, oh, I just got a great idea for a sketch.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, hiking up the Andes or wherever you hike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then just like, oh, I just write this sketch about an urn and... And Comedy Gold was born.
Yeah. And this as a guy, it made me feel a little awkward because it was like, oh shit, I've been that guy at times in my life, I'm sure.
You've approached women on hikes?
Not on hikes. Mm-hmm. Largely because I don't go hiking.
Gotcha.
So that really cuts down the odds of approaching women on hikes.
Oh, okay.
I like a few years ago, I was on a plane. I was flying back from visiting my parents in Georgia.
Yeah,
and I sat next to a really pretty lady.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Ooh, she's really pretty. I would like to talk to her."
Is that what you said?
That was
in
my,
that voice.
That was my inner monologue.
Oh, okay. Oh, thank God.
That was my inner monologue.
Gotcha.
And it couldn't really like strike up a conversation, but I did eventually see that. She was listening to the Guys We Fucked podcast.
Oh,
all right.
And
I was like, oh, I've met one of the ladies who does that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I do comedy. And we ended up striking up a conversation. We talked for like the last half of the flight. We became Facebook friends.
All right, so there you go. That was a nice interaction.
And if she had not responded in kind, I would have
just
scaled back and been quiet for the rest of the flight because I'm not a monster.
No,
but
you are not. You're not a, people. He's not a monster.
I am not an animal. I am a human being.
Fire!
But yeah, let's see. Another line from the sketch they had. It's a conversation prophylactic.
I like that.
I like that phrase. Kill small talk dead. And then at the end they also advertised lower back spikes for women because there's no reason to ever touch a woman's lower back when you're squeezing past her.
Now that definitely happened to somebody on the writing staff. That is something I have heard women talk about. Like when a guy's like, "Oh, excuse me," like they'll make the excuse that they're trying to get past you to like touch your lower back.
It touches the lower back, or touch their arm. You know,
yeah,
like they're looking for like that little bit of
that
intimacy, or
yeah, that little touch of the flesh.
Or, you know, or they're trying to cop a feel.
And then now you get a fistful of spikes if you try to do that with the
sweater. So I liked this bit a lot. I think this was my favorite of the night, personally, because I like it because, again, it had a definite point of view to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was like, and it also just maybe possibly would raise some guys' consciousness as like, oh shit, that's what women go through. That's what it looks like from their end.
I'm hoping that's what happens. I hope it's not just like, oh, these bitches are just, jabber.
They're
jabber.
Complaining. It's a compliment,
right? You look pretty, baby. I'm just trying to get by. And
they should enjoy it when I should say they should sit on my face.
Whoa, wow, that's a bold statement.
They're well. I've seen like guys who are.
They say you seen guys say sit on my face.
No, I've seen guys like try to justify the catcalling like
yes.
that. Like
oh,
there,
okay.
like remember there was that video a few years ago
yeah.
where there was the woman who filmed herself just walking through somewhere in the city, like Brooklyn or somewhere.
Yeah.
All day, and it was just recording areas. All the catcalls she got in the space of like a few hours.
Yeah. It happens. It
and then
happen.
I think they talked to some of the guys afterwards, and they were like, "Oh no, I'm saying they're pretty. They should be flattered." And it just really made you realize how incessant
yeah.
it is. And
I mean, like whenever somebody says that, "Oh no, it's just a compliment. I'm just paying them a compliment." Like it makes me think it's more. You're doing more, and you know it because like you don't pay guys that compliment either. You don't say,
yeah.
"Hey man, what's up? How you doing?" Like you know when guys say, "Oh, I'm just being nice to them and being." Hello
yeah.
and cordial. It's like, no, you don't do that to dudes. You just do that to very attractive women. So there's something else you're trying
you're
to do.
You're crossing the line.
Exactly.
Yeah. But so I like that. So
that's right. SNL nerds, we are allies.
We try to be.
Yeah, we try.
Trying to be woke.
That's right.
That's our new slogan. Trying to be woke.
Trying to be woke. Hashtag it.
I'm sure we got a ways to go. But
yes.
Because we're... older cisgender dudes.
Yeah. Is that the yeah, that's a term.
That's right. I use that correctly, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
We're Gen Xers, which goes into our next sketch.
Oh! Transition.
Boom.
My name is Patterson.
Boom, shalakalaka.
Yes, the next sketch, Millennial Millions.
How about that? I like this sketch. It was a good concept. I don't know if it was fully fleshed out, but I liked what they were doing here.
So this was a game show with Keenan as the game show host, not a Steve Harvey this time, but
right.
as a Keenan type guy.
He plays game show hosts a lot.
Yeah,
I just realized it.
He's like their go-to game show host guy now that Bill Hader's not on the show.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't think he does it as well as Bill Hader or even like Jason Sudeikis, but...
Oh, yeah. But, I guess not, but he's good. All
but
right.
he's like the go-to guy, so...
Yeah. This is a realization I just had. That's
mm-hmm.
That's the end. That's all I got.
Here we had Rachel Brosnahan as a 26-year-old who works for Google and has no health benefits.
She's because she does a freelance at Google.
Cause oh, that's right. Okay.
Because, you know, it's a company that can't have... full-time employees, I guess. So
right.
It's just Google.
And Pete Davidson was another millennial who's an intern at Burger King, and they're like, oh, at one of the restaurants? No, at corporate.
no, I think you say not a corporate's like, no, one of the restaurants, right?
Uh-huh.
Something like that. But yeah, he's
okay.
an intern at...
And they were trying to win money, but they had baby boomers coming in and acting like whammies on the old Press Your Luck
yes,
show.
Yes, very much so. It was kind of weird that they had A.D. Bryant had to come out and sing to explain what a baby boomer is. And remember that part?
Yeah.
She had that song.
The thing I noticed there was like that she got the title card that the next character was supposed to
right?
get.
Right? Yeah, that was...
She got a label that said Parrothead Boomer.
Parrothead Boomer.
That really confused me until Cecily
yeah.
Strong came out as the Parrothead Boomer.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, they did the wrong card.
Yeah, I noticed that too, yeah.
So I honestly didn't catch a lot of what 80 sang because I was just so confused by that card.
Yeah, I know that threw everybody off, but like, yeah, she just because I guess a lot of people don't know what a baby boomer is or the term, so they had to kind of explain what it is.
Yeah, they were like, oh yeah, they came back from the people came back from World War II. They did a lot of they had a lot of sex. They had a lot
right.
of kids. The kids grew up and
right, exactly.
You people know what baby boomers
yeah,
are, right?
Google it,
right?
Guy.
It's on Wikipedia. I just looked up Melissa Villaseñor on there. You
yeah.
can find out about baby boomers.
Exactly.
On
just Google it. Ask the guy that works freelance at Google to
exactly.
help you out with that.
Exactly. They had the goal of when the baby boomer came out and they started talking, the millennial could not interrupt the baby boomer for 30 seconds. And it was
right.
like the baby boomers talking about how much easier things were in their day.
Right.
Which
is something that happens.
Yeah. I did like Keenan's line. He said, I'm Gen X. I just sit on the sidelines and watch the world burn.
Very accurate.
Which.
Yeah.
yeah. I'll take that.
And the first time where Rachel lost, she's like, oh, well, why don't you go ahead and tweet about it? Maybe that'll solve everything. Like, I guess I'm Gen X. Mm-hmm. As somebody who is a Gen Xer, I do kind of complain about millennials quite a bit. So
yeah.
like, to see, to, for them, for me to watch this sketch, kind of see you know, things from their end kind of gave me like a little bit of insight that I really didn't think I had before.
Yeah, this sketch, it didn't quite work for me. I thought it was a little muddled because I was like, okay, are you going after millennials? Are you going after baby boomers? Or are you trying to go after both?
I feel like they were going after both.
Yeah, and
maybe more baby boomers than millennials. I feel like it was sketch that was written by millennials about how, you know, baby boomers and Gen Xers kind of dump on them a lot, which we do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're always like, millennials, da, da, da. So I think this sketch was sort of to combat that, about how things aren't great now for them as we think they are.
I paid my way through college. Oh, well, college was $300 in your day.
That's not wrong.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the sketch was them, like the millennials striking back. The Millennium Falcon. Millennial Falcon. Ah, son of a bitch.
do you want to do a retake on that? We could have Frank edit it in.
No, leave it.
Millennial Falcon?
Leave it, Frank. Leave it. Just leave it. I own my mistakes. Just leave it. The Millennial Falcon.
It just didn't work for me.
Okay. I mean, really. I liked what they were. I understand. It was a little muddled, but I liked the direction they were going in.
Yeah, yeah. It felt like it needed another draft or two to me. To make it a more pointed satire, I guess.
I'll go with you. Yeah. With that. You know.
You know. It was no Meet Your Second Wife.
Yeah. Oh my. What? That is the gold standard.
It's
no Black Jeopardy with Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Exactly. Because those.
It's no Carol Come Dungeon.
Those. Right. Right. This sketch needed a Carol Come Dungeon.
Thank you. What does it need a Carol Come Dungeon?
Let's pull that clip, please.
Come Dungeon.
So let's see. Next there was another film segment, fake ad for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which we were talking about before.
Raunchiest Mrs. Rita.
Yes.
Did you see that thing that they had in the beginning, the comedy club censored card that they put up for
it? Yes.
That was a big mistake, right?
I guess.
Yeah, that's
I don't know. Because I haven't seen the show. I didn't get quite all of the parody.
Oh,
I got the broad strokes of it.
That was a mistake that...
I guess, yeah.
Because, like, after the millennial sketch ended, there was, like, a long pause. Like, it was, like, a blank black screen for a while, like, longer than it should be. And then I think they cut to an exterior of the club. But then they cut in, like, this card that said Comedy Club Censored. And, like, oh, is that what's going on? And that was a mistake, and then they went into the sketch.
But this had Rachel as Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and she finishes her set in the club.
Right.
And then she's talking to Leslie Jones, who's the...
She sweeps up.
Who sweeps up.
Yeah.
Her name's Rita Mae Johnson, and Mrs. Maisel goes and says, well, just get up on stage and say what's on your mind, which, yeah, that's totally how comedy works.
That's right. It's just as easy as that.
You never have pre-written stuff that you get up and you do the same set over and over and over.
Nope, we're just talking.
We just talk and we make things up.
Yeah, on the fly. So, you know, please feel free to talk to us while we're on stage. We love that. Just interrupt us.
We love nothing more than that as comedians.
Oh.
We love people to heckle the show and interrupt our train of thought.
Just interrupt us when we're just talking.
It's just the best.
Oh, just please, just do it.
That's just the best. And it's like, and you know, the rest of the audience loves it too, because they're like, screw that guy with the microphone. Let's hear what this dude with like... who's six beers in has to say.
Yeah, let's talk to this group of this bachelorette party over here.
Yeah.
It is their birthday. Let's hear what they have to say.
They've all got like the crowns with the penises hanging off of them. They've got some important points of view.
They've got pearls of wisdom. So let's.
Yeah, that's right.
We're
not bitter.
I'm sorry. Wow, where did that come from? That came from a dark place. I don't know. I almost blacked out there for
a minute. Yeah, I know.
I almost passed out.
So Leslie Jones, she gets up as Rita, and she's doing like deaf comedy jam type stuff.
Just bleep bleeps bleep the bleeps,
picking on the audience people. And I didn't write down any of her specific lines. I don't think
I didn't hear her. Like most of it got bleeped out. Like I literally couldn't make out most of the things. Like
it was sort of like insult comedy that you might see on Showtime at the Apollo Comedy Jam or something like that.
It was just a lot
of very in your face and a more modern style of comedy than you see on Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, I mean the sketch was pretty like one note. It was just a lot of it ended of course with her getting off stage and them saying, "All right, well our next comic's a lot cleaner. Give it up for Mr. William Cosby." There you go.
That was our new feature called the Problematic Bell.
Yes.
We ring that whenever a name comes up of somebody that is now problematic.
Indeed. But to their point, like they didn't, like, I think it was just Keenan went up to the mic, but like then they just kind of cut this. Yeah, just got before he said anything.
Yeah, and
yeah, I mean, the sketch was, though, it was all right, but it wasn't.
AD was playing.
I was playing Alec Borstein's character, yeah. Susie.
Yeah, and I like the line, you know, what's with the hat? Are you a newsie?
yeah, because her character does wear the hat on the show.
Right.
They never explain. She just wears that little captain hat all the time. That's her look.
I'm going to assume she has a huge bald spot.
Possibly, yeah.
That's why I wear hats.
I just assume she's like a sea captain.
Okay.
You know, in the 60s.
Let's start writing fan fiction.
Let's do it.
All right.
She just came off the high seas.
next we had the musical guest of the evening, Greta Van Fleet, which I was surprised because I was assuming Greta Van Fleet was like one person.
No.
And it's a band with four dudes.
Have you never heard of Greta Van Fleet before this?
I think I'd heard the name, but I'd never seen a picture or heard any of their music.
All right. So basically they're a pretty new band. I think they got together in like, I want to say 2015.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but they're new. Yeah, they're very new, and I mean the elephant in the room. They sound just like Led Zeppelin. Like
what I wrote down was imagine if Queen totally sucked.
Whoa,
that was what I wrote in my notes.
Oh wait, no, actually, let me change that. They formed in 2012, and they got signed in 2017,
mm-hmm.
and now they're on SNL.
And when do they get good?
Wow. You're not a fan.
I did not like the Greta Van Fleet.
Then you would probably
the lead singer's voice was really obnoxious.
Yeah, I see.
I didn't. Well,
don't
I didn't,
hold back.
I didn't. I'm not. I didn't like their look. They had this very contrived look where they're trying to look like a band from the 70s. And
the voice.
God, I just hated them.
The voice sound is like a mix of Robert Plant. And the dude from Rush.
But bad.
Yeah. Hey, actually, you would probably... And, well, here, you probably like this, too. Because, like, one of the things that they're well known for, if you Google them, you're familiar with the blog Pitchfork?
Yeah.
Where they reviewed their album, their latest album that came out in October, called Anthem of the Peaceful Army.
Mm-hmm.
1.6 out of 10.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me read a little bit. I'll just read it real quick.
Way to go, Pitchfork.
The first paragraph. Greta Van Fleet sounds like they did weed exactly once, called the cops, and tried to record a Led Zeppelin album before they arrested themselves. The poor kids from Frankenmuth, Michigan, don't even realize they're more of an algorithmic fever dream than an actual rock band. While they're selling out shows all over the world, somewhere in a boardroom, a half a dozen people are figuring out just how exactly Jimmy Page and Robert Plant are supposed to fit into the SUV with the rest of the Greta Van Fleet boys on Carpool Karaoke. He did not like this album.
No, that sounds bad.
Yeah, and I'll finish it on the last... Okay, all right, so this is like the last paragraph. So when the Greta Van Fleet of your favorite artist finally lands on your morning playlist, spark up a bowl of nostalgia and enjoy the self-satisfied buzz of recognizing something you already know. It's the cheapest high in music.
Ooh, that is harsh.
It's
not inaccurate, but that is harsh.
It's scathing. Yeah, like, I mean, I'm a big classic rock dude. Are you into classic rock?
Yeah, I enjoy the classic rock.
Yeah, you enjoy the rocks? The rocks and the rolls?
I enjoy the rocking. I enjoy the rolling. I enjoy, like, when they put the rocking and the rolling together.
Ooh. But, yeah, like, basically, I tried to get... I listen. This is something else I knew I kind of wanted to do, because I've noticed mm-hmm. that whenever we do the music part,
yeah.
of these episodes, like, none of us really have anything to say.
Yeah.
So I want to, like, when we record these episodes, I'm going to listen to the latest album of the musical guest. So I'll have something to say.
Oh, okay.
And I listened to the latest album by Greta Van Fleet. And yeah, it's just basically, it sounds like Zeppelin, but it ain't Zeppelin. And it's just kind of, it's kind of like a corporate version
mm-hmm.
of authenticity, I guess you're
saying. See, I was going to take the opposite tack. I was thinking whenever we come across a musical guest that we do not care for, we could just talk about Weezer instead.
Ooh. Wow, I like that.
So I was like, why waste time talking about the Greta Van Fleet? Let's talk about Surf Wax America.
Oh. You break your car to work, I'll take my board, and when you're out of fuel, I'm still afloat. among the un. Okay, I'm sorry. Wow, that
the guy totally dies at the end of that song, right?
Does he?
I feel like he does.
Holy shit! I never even thought of that.
Well, the undertow pulls him in, and he's like, "Now I can never go home."
Fuck. Maybe he does die. Shit. God damn it! Not wow. All you right. Bummed me out.
Well, this has been this week's. Wow. This Week in Weezer.
Shocking realization. All right, well, let's go. But, yeah, with Greta Van Fleet, I feel like the band, you remember how back in the day, like in the 90s, like ripped and faded jeans were a big thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, people just loved like kind of like having tattered jeans. And
yep, it was the a pre-distressed.
Cool look. Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Yeah. Like, but it came from like an organic, natural thing where people just wore faded jeans. But
and we kind of have that with like t-shirts now where they have the pre-distressed.
Yeah, the vintage old school t-shirts. And then it got so big that they were selling jeans that were like pre-ripped and the companies mm-hmm. were selling pre-faded shirts.
Yeah.
And it just like the authenticity and the organicness of it just was kind of just like, oh, this is like
it got co-opted.
Exactly. And I feel like the band is like that. Like they're mm-hmm. kind of it's like, you know, like a plastic fruit. Like it's of a manufactured version of something that's supposed to be organic and natural.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and that's I mean, if you haven't listened to the original Led Zeppelin, I could see how you might like this band. Because this band is very popular. They have like a huge following.
I mean, I don't doubt that they're popular because they made it to SNL, so they're obviously doing well for themselves.
Yeah, exactly. But yes.
God, they were just not for me, man.
Yeah, like, I mean, we've listened to the original, so when we hear like bands like Greta Van Fleet and compare it to...
It reminded me of, there's an old Far Side cartoon where they show a guy at a soundboard at a concert and he's accidentally turned all the dials over to suck and the audience is booing the band. That's kind of how I felt while I was watching Greta Van Fleet. I just thought they were fucking awful.
I can't defend it. Yeah. The lead singer was like really stiff too. Did you notice that or am I nuts?
I mean, they just seemed very self-conscious, like, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing about them seemed genuine to me, you know?
Agreed. I'll give you that. But I don't know, if you like it, that's just, you know, if that's how you swing your, that's how you swing it, then think they're hot,
I mean,
back, they're
honestly, the biggest surprise was like, oh, I thought they were one person. I was expecting like, probably like a woman, like a single woman with a backing band.
I think they were named after a woman, but yeah.
And it was like, okay, this is like a Lynyrd Skynyrd thing, where it sounds like it's one person, but
Yeah, that's true.
That like ages ago when I was a kid, I was surprised when I first learned that Lynyrd Skynyrd wasn't one person. It was actually a group
you're like,
of
which
people.
One of you is Lynyrd Skynyrd?
And then some of them die in a plane crash, and it gets very confusing.
Oof! All right, wow. And, way to bring down the podcast, fella.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise, wow. I didn't know. Wow.
I find the plane crash of Lynyrd Skynyrd less depressing than I found Greta Van Fleet said.
Mother of God, what is wrong with you?
I did not like them.
I can't defend them. Like, it's... Yeah, I can't defend it.
So moving on to Weekend Update. Weekend Update.
Weekend Update, yeah.
We had...
The return of Jostin and Che.
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 Che. Che.
Che.
Che. Che. Lady.
Why you went to...
Yeah. I didn't make too many notes on the beginning of Weekend. We were talking about the government shutdown, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
This was, I believe it was a line of Che's. He said, I trust Trump as much as I trust R. Kelly at a Claire's Boutique.
Ooh.
That's a good line.
It's a good line.
It's a good line.
It's a good line.
And
Kate McKinnon came out as Elizabeth Warren, and
yes,
yet another politician. She does so. Yes. She does do women. There you go.
That's debuting her Elizabeth Warren.
I'm
impression.
Pretty sure she's been Warren before.
Has she?
Okay. She has. She definitely has.
Oh, I did not remember that. But
okay. She's definitely been Warren before.
I mean, that's we're just gonna keep having Kate McKinnon play female presidential candidates until one of them gets elected.
Yes,
because it's all about providing job security for Kate McKinnon.
That's right.
She had a good line. I haven't been this excited since I found out my package from L.L. Bean shipped. that's great.
Yeah. And she had that line about, like, you know, her not being likable. Mm-hmm. It's like, am I likable? Probably not, but neither the prostate exam. And
yes.
But you need it.
I'm like, Monday Night Raw was hosted by NPR's Terry Gross.
Yeah.
America, you will do everything you can to not vote for a woman for president. Yeah, I think that was right before the prostate exam thing.
It's not wrong. But yeah, she's good stuff.
To back up a little bit, there was at one point where Joe said, no condoms for this guy. He was talking about the BuzzFeed breaking the story about Trump, and then they had to walk it back.
Right, right.
Because Robert Mueller denied that part of the article.
Right, right.
They were likening to... And the Trump administration was treating that as a win. And he said, that's like finding out you have 20 venereal diseases, but being happy you don't have chlamydia.
Right, right. I said,
condoms for this guy. And then they cut back to Che, and he just goes, that's going to be a meme.
Yeah. You could tell that was right off the cuff. Like, that was not, and it was fun.
And it probably is a meme by the time you hear this.
Let's check it out.
Let's Google that.
Joe's, no condoms.
Yeah. there's something on your Google search history.
What's coming up on my phone?
But I that's become one of my favorite parts of Weekend Update now, is just watching those two bust on each other. And, you know, Che, of course, does a better job at it than Jost does.
Yeah, Jost is funny, but, like, Che is, like, good off-the-cuff riffing.
I mean, Che's the kind of funny that he's done a lot of stand-up club dates.
Yes,
and he has to, like, take down the hecklers, and he has to come up with stuff quickly, like
right,
that.
Right, right.
And Jost is like,
he's like writer funny.
He's writer funny. He's Harvard Lampoon funny, where you sit alone in a room and you type stuff and you develop it and you hone it and you do and you get it perfect and all that. And they're two different kinds.
Two different funnies, but they work well together.
Have we found a Colin Jost no condoms meme?
We're on it. Yeah. Hold on. I see a bunch of. I don't see it. Son of a bee. You let me down here, Internet. All right. Well, okay, let's keep talking.
Let's see. They talked about on, I believe it's on Monday, they said there's going to be a super blood wolf moon.
Oh, yeah. I like that line, too.
Joe said, I thought was the name of the band that just performed on our show. And then they put up a picture of Greta Van Fleet.
I thought that was funny.
That was cute. That was funny. And that's a better name than Greta Van Fleet.
You know what? It is. It really is.
They also reported on an egg becoming the most popular photo on Instagram. And Joe said, that's funny because this week an egg on Twitter told me Colin Jost is a jag-ass queef weasel.
That might have come from a real place.
Second use of queef in the show.
Oh, that's the second.
That's the second use of queef.
Oh, that's right.
And also coincidentally, that's a note I have in my phone every week.
Wait, what?
Colin Jost is a jag-ass queef weasel.
Is that you?
No.
Are you going to get our podcast taken off?
I have a picture on my Twitter profile.
You own your queef weasels.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't say nearly as many insulting things about Colin Jost as I used to.
Growth. There you go.
Growth. I'm maturing. I'm developing. I'm becoming all the human that I can be.
New year, new Trumbull.
Exactly.
Okay, and then we went into Pete Davidson with his best new buddy, John Mulaney.
John Mulaney, they were talking about the new Clint Eastwood movie, The Mule.
Yeah.
And he brought on comedian and mule appreciator, John Mulaney.
Mule aficionado.
A mule... Okay, my phone must have corrected that, or I got it wrong. It's funny, because like I knew that John Mulaney was apparently in the building because they put up a thing on Instagram. They were talking about their stand-up show got rescheduled in Pennsylvania because of the winter storm we just had.
Oh.
The winter quote-unquote storm.
Yeah. John Mulaney in the building.
And I guess I believe Davidson was opening for him, and they were...
Oh, yeah.
It was just the two of them recounting this movie and the insanity of this movie.
That's true. And also, like, before this, Pete Davidson mentioned, like, that... whole suicide, not attempt, but...
Oh, yeah, he mentioned that because he said, like, I publicly threatened suicide.
Yeah, but, and he was like, I didn't know if I should, like, it's a funny line, but part of me was like, should I laugh at this?
Well, I mean, that's kind of what...
I mean, he's laughing at it, so I can laugh at it, right?
I mean, I admire that Pete Davidson is just, like, he knows he's, like, become kind of tabloid fodder, and he's just pretty upfront about it, and he's upfront about, he has... mental health issues, or difficulties, I guess I should say.
Yeah, it was like, wow.
And I admire that he's upfront about it, because it's good for people to see that everybody has that sort of stuff going on.
That's very true.
And there's not necessarily any shame or stigma to that. It's just something you have to work on. It's like if you have a physical condition, you work on that. If you have diabetes, you take medicine for that. If you have mental health issues,
you treat it.
Yeah, you treat it.
Yeah, it's that was great. Yeah, I feel like this thing that that Davidson does, this is where he's the best.
Because like when he shines.
Yeah, when he does sketches and stuff, he does characters. I mean, he doesn't really do characters or impressions.
No.
And when he does acting, he's like, okay. But when he's behind a desk, just talk, this is, I mean, I'm sure I've said this before, but like, this is his milieu.
And that's, we're going French.
I'm going French.
Yeah, and this is why we have Davidson on Weekend Update like every other week now.
Yeah, I think he
comes on, he does a segment, he says something controversial, he comes back the next week, he apologizes for that.
Yes.
He comes back the next week, he says something controversial, and the cycle continues.
Circle of life.
But I enjoyed this because I haven't seen The Mule, but I enjoyed them just taking it apart.
It's weird that they just talked about The Mule. And they literally just described the plot of the...
It was a little mini How Did This Get Made episode.
Very much so.
And there was just... Clint is hired as a drug mule at age 90 by Andy Garcia, who was once rude to me at a Laker game.
The fact that they included that had to be real.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, obviously.
Like he was ruining me at a Laker game.
And they're talking about how he's driving all this. I forget what type of drugs it was, but he's driving it from Mexico.
Right.
Like, and he's like 90.
Yeah.
They described it as like it was being like Clint Eastwood talking to the chair at the Republican convention for 2 hours. That's how insane it is.
Remember, and they mentioned that he has two threesomes in his movie.
Two threesomes.
And I was like, what? He does?
And John Mulaney was like, which is great because it means I still have 54 years to have a threesome.
And of course, he ended it with a good pun, the Mulaney.
The Mulaney. I enjoyed this segment. This is one of my favorite bits.
I would not be surprised if more people check out The Mule because of this.
Yeah.
Because I had no desire to watch Mule, and now I'm like...
Now we got to watch it ironically,
maybe. Maybe I'll watch The Mule.
That's right. I mean... Who knows?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I want to see 90-year-old Clint Eastwood have two threesomes. That came out wrong.
Whoa.
That came out wrong. Whoa. I don't so much want to see that
You said want.
I did say want. I did say... It's been a long time, guys.
Oh, boy.
So next, we go back to the sketches.
Sketches.
We had a sketch called Tabitha, which sadly was not about the daughter from Bewitched.
Yeah,
I was all hyped for it.
Or the old MTV news anchor,
Tabitha Soren.
Yeah,
I remember her.
Remember that?
She was a cutie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happened to Tabitha Soren? I'm gonna Google that.
We gotta talk about the sketch first.
Okay. Do we have to?
We gotta do it.
Okay. It has Leslie Jones as an Oprah Winfrey type talk show host. She's the author of the book The Obedient Husband. She's training her husband like a dog, and it cuts the cell phone footage of her scolding her husband like a dog. I got the point. 30 seconds in, it was really repetitive. There were no surprises.
Well, at the very end, there was. I agree with you. It was like a repetitive. They talk to the husbands like a dog, and the husband behaved like dogs. None of the men have lines. They just kind of give like a...
Yeah, you keep going. I'm gonna Google Tabitha Soren now.
You'd rather do the... Oh,
I really would.
All right, so basically like the women talk to their husbands like their dogs, like, Craig, did you do this? Did you make this mess? Craig. And like, of course, the husbands do like that little dog look of shame. Like,
and they had Rachel Brosnahan and Cecily Strong come on as to... women who had followed her advice and retrained the men in their lives.
Right, and the big twist was at the end was Cecily Strong talks to her husband, Beck Bennett, is like, whatever her husband's name was, like, Dave, do you have a second family? Did you go out and have a second family? Mm-hmm. It's a bad Dave, bad Dave. And then even Tabitha was like, oh my God, what? He has a second family? That's a pretty big problem.
Okay, this is interesting. Tabitha Soren, former
MTV
news reporter. She also worked for ABC News and NBC News. She is now an American fine art photographer.
Photographer?
She became a photographer.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
After working in television news, Soren spent a year studying art and photography at Stanford University. Over the past 10 years, her projects have been published in New York Times Magazine, Canteen, Vanity Fair, McSweeney's, Sports Illustrated, and New York, among others.
There you go.
She's had public collections.
Huh.
And she's made a whole second career for herself.
We're going to
Tabitha Soren.
We're going to tag Tabitha Soren when we put this episode out.
I know.
Wow, man.
I'm excited.
Now do Kurt Loder. Where is he?
Kurt Loder, I'm
trying to think of other
What was the guy with the with the big hair?
Ricky Rackman?
No, not him. The blondish guy. The
Kevin Seal.
I can picture this guy.
Oh, Adam Curry.
Adam Curry. That was.
Isn't he like a CEO or something?
Oh, he probably is. That sounds very correct.
Typical Curry.
Okay.
I think he works behind the scenes now. He's an exec somewhere.
Kurt Loder, his listing says American film critic.
Film critic?
Film critic, author, columnist, and television personality.
Yeah. The Lodes. Well, maybe he didn't like to be called that.
The Lodes? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds halfway insulting.
As soon as I said that, I was like, that's not a good nickname.
Fell into the field. His entire journalism background is 4 weeks. You can learn. That's it. Nothing else. You can learn journalism in 4 weeks. It's not an overcomplicated thing. It's very, very simple.
So the next sketch.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Kurt Loder, less interesting than Tabitha Soren.
Oh.
Tabitha Soren, we had a nice twist.
Yeah. Yeah. And Adam Curry, we will get to you in a moment.
We will do some research. We will record a supplemental episode about what happened to all the MTV VJs.
We got to look up Ricky Rackman. We got to look up Duffy.
We Karen Duff. Was it Karen Duff or Duffy?
I think it was Duffy. Then she went to Karen Duff.
Oh, okay.
I believe. Because okay. She wanted to be legit.
Yeah.
And then there was Downtown Julie Brown.
Downtown Julie Brown. And
Eric Neese.
What's her name? She was the female in the original five, and she married Bobby Brady on that horrible 90s Brady show.
Oh, Nina Blackwood?
Not Nina Blackwood. That was the other. Yeah, she was another one of the original.
Dan Cortez.
Yes, it was Dan Cortez. They had a gay wedding between Bobby Brady and Dan Cortez.
And I am here for it. I support you and your love. That's right.
Not
love knows no bounds.
God, again, I can picture this woman, and I know people who are listening to this, they're shouting the names.
Well, go
right now.
All right, well, okay. We should really talk about the rest of the show.
We have to?
We got two more sketches.
Okay,
man.
Well, you start. I am going to Google original five MTV
DJs. All right, guys, I apologize for this thing going off the rails so terribly. So the next sketch is basically, they do a parody of the
Martha Quinn.
Martha Quinn. Oh, that's right.
Okay, now I can move on.
Dude,
I'm not going to have that in the back of my head, driving me insane.
I think you blew out a speaker with that. Martha, she wasn't related to Colin, right?
No, I don't believe so.
It was just a coincidence.
I'd had to Google to say that for sure, and God knows I've done enough of that.
Okay, all right.
Okay,
so now you can sleep at night.
Yeah.
Now you got me wondering what happened to Martha Quinn now.
Oh, God damn it.
No, you started this. This is on you.
You finish this.
I was going to move on.
All right.
I had one foot out the door.
We are clicking on Martha Quinn. We are. Yeah.
All right. So the parody. All right. So this is a. Good gravy. So this is. They did a parody of the viral Gillette commercial. The commercial, the commercial of Gillette that kind of challenged toxic masculinity that everybody's talking about. It's all the rage. But they did it with Kool-Aid and the Kool-Aid Man.
The Kool-Aid Man.
So it was basically that. Like, basically how the Kool-Aid Man teaches young children and young boys how it's cool to just burst into people's houses and, like, how that perpetuates, Kool-Aid culture.
They used an old Dane Cook line when he had his routine about Kool-Aid Man. It was like the, more like, oh, no. I mean, that was totally out of Dane Cook's act.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
All right, well.
It was a very quick thing. It was kind of undeveloped. Honestly, it went over my head that it was a parody of the Gillette ad. You say that now, it makes total sense.
Yeah, I kind of knew it because I haven't seen the whole ad. I've seen pieces of it.
I watched it. It was fine.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people are getting so...
People are angry about everything these days.
Yeah, people just go apeshit over everything.
Everything offends and everything upset. Some things are justified, then some things are... We have bigger fish to fry, people.
Such as Martha Quinn joined Sirius Satellite Radio in 2005.
Wow.
Hosting a one-hour weekly show from her home in Malibu called Martha Quinn Presents Gods of the Big 80s for the Big 80s channel. After Sirius merged with XM Radio, the channel was rebranded as the 80s on 8. And the show is simply titled Martha Quinn Presents.
All right, that sounds pretty.
She was... That sounds pretty cool. Show with David Spade. She did the 80s game with Martha Quinn, a PC trivia game developed by Funkatron.
Of course.
Which I just love that name. I just want to say the name Funkatron.
That's awesome. My nickname in high school.
That's right.
What's up, Funkatron?
I'm just seeing you now with a giant kid and play hairstyle, parachute pants.
Oh, nice cross-color shirt.
Throwing down the cardboard, doing some old-school breakdancing.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I was the talk of the town.
In December 2017, Martha hosted a show for public television called The 80s, parentheses, My Music. So she did a lot of 80s nostalgia type stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming still married to Bobby Brady in the fictional world of the Bradys.
Here's hoping.
Or something.
Hoping those crazy kids can make it work.
Yeah. So next,
final sketch.
Final sketch in,
wow,
in
that,
10 to 1 land.
Look, we've gone on tangents, but that was like the tangents to end all tangents.
Yeah.
That was...
Yeah.
We almost became a whole new podcast with that.
Yeah. I still haven't looked up Adam Curry, so we got that in our back pocket.
We'll leave that for next episode.
That's right, teaser.
Little teaser. Little
next
cliffhanger.
Next we had Barbie interns. They did this once before.
Yes, they did. It was with another thing that I can't remember.
Yeah, it was with people. They were Ken has an Instagram account, and they're focus grouping people to come up with captions for the pictures in Ken's Instagram account.
Yeah,
and the joke is none of them have a clue.
Right. Heidi Gardner was in. She kind of had some like clueless things to say.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete Davidson, you know, of course.
Very light episode for Heidi Gardner.
Very light.
We barely saw her.
Yeah, just like sprinklings of Gardner.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
This is pretty Davidson heavy.
I didn't
though.
Like that. She must have had something developed that didn't get it past dress or didn't get picked.
Yeah.
And don't sit on Heidi Gardner, Lorne.
That's right.
We need a little more Melissa Villa Senor. We need some Heidi Gardner.
Yeah.
These are the new young people. They're the future of the show.
Yeah.
We need to develop this talent.
Thank you. Thank you. So yeah.
So
yeah.
The future is female, Lorne.
That's right, man. Yeah. Grr.
Yeah. yeah, I don't did she show up before the Kool-Aid Man thing?
Heidi?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Was she in something in passing?
She was in the Kool-Aid
name earlier.
She wasn't in the Tabitha thing.
She wasn't in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
No,
was she in Millennial Millions?
She could have been in the Millennials. I don't know why they didn't put her in there, but
yeah.
Da-da-da-da. No, she wasn't.
Very light Heidi Gardner.
Very light.
Yeah, yeah.
She was in the Action 9 News because she was the woman with the unfortunate.
Oh,
last
that's
name.
Right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
You're
all right,
right.
So maybe it wasn't that.
Okay.
All right. So we take it back, Lorne.
So she showed up a little bit, but
all right.
We're watching you, Lorne.
That's right.
We are watching you.
We are watching you, and we're doing that. Robert De Niro.
That's right. We're doing that little
meet the parents,
pointing to our eyes, pointing to you with two fingers.
We're putting the fear of God into Lorne Michaels right now.
That's right.
We're physically doing it. We know none of you listeners can see it, but we're doing it.
We're doing it.
Just know we're doing it.
Because we're truthful.
Yeah.
We are truthful broadcasters.
Right. But yeah, this sketch was okay. I mean, I will say this. Like, Rachel Brosnahan, I did like her in, like, pretty much all these sketches. I thought she, mm-hmm. like, she was definitely game to, what you call it, in all these sketches. She didn't phone it in. She gave 100%. I think she was really good and strong in all these sketches. And, like, especially this last sketch, I feel like she wasn't given that much, but what she... God, she gave a lot. She elevated it, I think.
Yeah.
I think she's a really good sketch performer.
I mean,
I would like to see her in another episode.
I thought she was okay. I wasn't wild about her, honestly.
What?
I mean, I thought she was fine. I just didn't think she was great. I honestly thought this was a pretty mediocre episode.
I mean, I'll give
overall.
You that, yeah.
I hardly anything grabbed me except the urn thing to stop the awkward conversations.
Right.
I just have one more thing to say.
Go for it.
Adam Curry is a podcaster, announcer, and internet entrepreneur and media personality.
We were going to hold
this!
Known
for his stint as a VJ on MTV and being one of the first celebrities personally to create and administer websites. So that's interesting.
Yeah, so he's like a businessman.
This is what he looks like these days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oof.
He's still got the blondish hair. He doesn't have the sort of mullety thing, but he looks like a really old young man.
Yeah, that's good. He looks like who's that dude that was on Entertainment Tonight?
John Tesh.
Yeah, he has a Tesh look, Teshy vibe.
He has been called he was apparently an early podcaster, and he has been called the Podfather because of his efforts.
He was.
So we owe this podcast to Adam Curry.
Thanks.
Apparently.
Thanks,
former
Adam.
MTV DJ.
I thought we had Mark Maron to thank, but I guess it's Adam Curry.
All right, how you doing, what the fuckers?
Yeah.
All right. We good?
We good? Yeah.
All right, Martha Quinn, we good? Everybody okay?
Boomer.
All right.
Boomer and
LaFleur. Boomer lives. But yeah, no, this episode didn't grab me, which is why I've been like jumping on all the tangents
that
I can.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, this episode
there's a method to my madness.
I doubt that. But
probably not, but
yeah, this episode was so-so, it was all right. It had a few. But I think Rachel Brosnahan was good.
I thought she was all right. I just thought the episode, for my money, I think it was probably worst of the season so far.
Worse than
Wait, what would you say was worse?
Okay. All right, no, I was going to say because I guess it's I don't know.
I stumped you, haven't I?
You really did.
I stumped the band.
Because I kind of thought this...
I win. I win this week.
O'Doyle rules.
In your face, Patterson.
No, because I kind of thought this was like the start of the new season, but I was like, oh, wait, no, there's a continuation.
Well, it's
of
like
the
a
left.
Mid-season premiere, I guess you could call it.
Yeah.
Because they were away for a month.
Yeah, that's true.
So...
Do you think the Carell episode was like on par with that? Because that episode was like...
Maybe. Eh. Yeah, that was kind of an episode overall, too.
All right. I
like Carell as a performer more just because I have more of a history of watching him as a performer. So I think he carried a little more goodwill for me.
I see.
And okay. Rachel Brosnahan, nothing against her. I just am not too familiar with her work. So
okay. Well you
I'm
watch,
coming to her more or less cold.
Well, watch the Maisel and get familiar there, fella.
I guess I will.
Yeah.
There I guess go. I will. I mean, our friend Joan Weisblatt said that she doesn't move the mic stand when she performs stand-up
on
the show.
Right.
Which, that, I read that and it honestly bugged me so much. I was like, how do you not move the mic stand? What? You got to move the mic stand. You got to get it out of the way. You don't want it in between you and the audience.
Dude, you know what? Now that you mention it, this is probably why you didn't like Greta Van Fleet, because the lead singer did not move the mic stand.
I don't mind it when singers do that.
Really?
I mean, I don't expect the singers to be... free mic in it.
I get, but
honestly.
I don't know. The way Greta, because he like clenched them. For those that don't know, like if you any stand-up comedian, like comedian, the first rule is when a comedian gets on stage, they take the mic out of the mic stand, put the mic stand to the side. Mm-hmm. And then you're just walking and talking or you're staying
still. Or if you're leaving it in the mic stand, you just like quietly, smoothly adjust the mic stand so it's the correct height for you. Sometimes
right.
you can do that. I mean, but
right.
but you have to do this stuff smoothly and unobtrusively and right. not call attention to it. It looks like such a rookie thing when you're fumbling with the mic.
Right. And then like when you're done, you grab the mic stand, put it in front of you, put the mic back in the stand, and then you walk
mm-hmm.
off. That's,
and you but, shake hands with the host, the
exactly.
MC. And,
so it's like whenever you see a comic put the mic back in the stand, he's about to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Very few comedians... You know, do a show with them. Like, maybe, I think Todd Barry is maybe the only way I can think of where he does the mic. But that's part of his thing.
Because Todd Barry is very mellow, and he doesn't do, like, a lot of act-outs or anything like that.
Right.
But, yeah, usually when they're putting the mic back in the stand, they either are about to do a bit where they need to use both their hands
right.
and do some gestures or some sort of act-out. They're getting ready to wrap it up.
Right.
And you also have to hold the mic very low. You hold the mic towards the bottom so that way people can see your face better.
I didn't even know that. Wow, I didn't even know that. Shit.
Yeah.
I've been doing this all wrong. Holy hell.
I told someone that recently. Who started comedy more recently and she was holding the mic real high and I was like, you gotta hold it down low. And I think that's just something I noticed on my own.
Huh.
There's a lot of comics.
Okay.
Because I think it just looks better. It makes
yeah,
a better picture.
Makes
that's more
like
of a
pro.
Personal thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't laugh at your own jokes.
Yeah.
God, well, that's hacky.
Some people do that, though.
We make each other laugh
on this
show.
Michelle Wolf does that a lot, too. She giggles out a lot after her own stuff.
I don't know. That's something that just really bugs me in the years since I've been doing comedy.
You know what grinds my gears?
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of grievances today. I'm.
Well, you are.
Yeah.
You don't like Greta Van Fleet? You don't like giggling after your own set? I mean...
Well, I don't like it. When,
I mean, I kind
of
agree with you that
a lot of comics they do like a fake laugh at their own jokes to try and build up the energy and encourage the audience to laugh. And I just hate it.
I see what you mean. Like your joke should be strong enough.
Yeah.
To get the people.
I mean,
to laugh.
If something genuinely cracks you up, if something unexpected happens, yeah,
right. That's fine.
That's great. Go nuts. Laugh.
Right.
But I don't like it when they're like they're telling a joke they've told a million times before, and they're like, and
yeah,
no.
Like when you write the laugh into the joke,
right?
That's
right.
That's like that's a Greta Van Fleet right there.
And if you're going to shout in your act, hold the mic away from you. It's a microphone. It projects sound.
Yeah.
It's people shouting into microphones. It's not a fun thing.
Yeah. Oh, like us on this podcast sometimes.
I don't know. We don't intentionally shout.
No, we'll shout when like something catches us off guard.
Yeah.
We'll do the screaming shout and apologize to Frank. But other than that, we're pretty cognizant.
Yeah. And
you know, we're not Sam Kinnison up here or anything like that.
No.
Oh, oh!
No, no. But, we should mention who SNL is
yes.
Having next week.
That's our review of this episode. Mm-hmm. It was so-so. It was all right.
Not a great one. Not a stellar performance for Saturday Night Live.
Bigger and better things, hopefully.
But next week they got James McAvoy.
Jimmy Mac.
And Meek Mill.
Meek Mill, who's rapper. A rapper from Philly. And he's known for... He has antics. He's had some issues, but I'll get into it next episode. But
all right,
he's a rapper, and
sounds like next week is going to be another week where you teach me about black culture.
Yes, so okay. Get out your pen and paper.
I am ready to learn, sir.
There you go.
I am ready to learn.
And of course, McAvoy, we all know
McAvoy. He's Professor X.
Professor X.
He's young Professor X.
Yeah.
Before he becomes Patrick Stewart.
Yes, and he was the last king of Scotland.
He was in that Wanted movie, and...
And that's it.
I like James McAvoy.
He's fine.
I enjoy him.
I mean, I don't think he's done too much comedic-wise.
No. Comedy-wise. Not that I can think of. I don't believe he's hosted the show before.
No, I don't think
Can
so.
You recall that?
I cannot.
Maybe that's something I'll Google that is actually relevant to the show. Oh. Let's see.
You don't want to look up Ricky Rackman or whoever
else? I desperately want to look up Ricky Rackman, but you frown on that.
Or Ed Lover and Dr. Dre. You want to see what they're up to?
I kind of do.
Now. I think Ed Lover's still around. I think he's doing
TV. What are the Yo MTV Raps guys?
I'm just trying to think of all the old MTV.
Oh, okay. I found a headline from the Scottish Sun. James McAvoy set to be the third Scot to host SNL when he takes charge next week. So let's see. Who are the first two Scots, I wonder? Let's see. Can we name them?
Sean Connery?
Sean Connery hasn't hosted.
Gabriel
surely.
Byrne? Oh, no. Liam Neeson did host once. He's Scot. Oh, he's Irish. Shit. Sorry. I apologize to all
okay,
of you.
Okay. We got... I found... they've got a rundown of a few Scots. They've got Gerard Butler in 2009.
Oh, Gerard Butler.
Franz Ferdinand was a musical guest in 2005.
Oh, that's
from Glasgow. And Alan Cumming in 2000.
Oh, he's Scottish?
How do you not know Alan Cumming's Scottish?
I thought he was like English. I don't...
No, he's Scottish.
All right. Well, apologies.
He's got a brogue.
I gotta hear...
Annie Lennox is a musical guest in 92, 95.
Walking on Broken Glass.
Sir Rod Stewart in 81 and 95. I didn't know he was a Scot.
Wow, we're just scrolling through our phones at this point.
But we're finding valuable SNL trivia about how many Scots have hosted the show in
this
the past.
This is gonna be like helpful in party situations, people. So
that's right. This is.
When you're sitting around, when you're sitting around the cheese plate,
the ladies love trivia about Scotsman hosting SNL. That is why Darren is a happily married man today.
That's right. Excuse me, m'lady. May I?
You tip your hat.
May I tell you some tales about the Scots that have hosted SNL? Oh, you have an urn. I see.
Yes.
I'll take my leave.
Yes. So anyway, that's next week. That's James McAvoy. So I'm looking forward to that. That should be fun.
Yeah.
That should be fun. It's just nice to have like the show back with new episodes, even if they're episodes I don't personally like.
Even if I don't enjoy it, it's good that it's there.
I mean, I'm masochistic, so that's fine.
Wow. Good gravy. Let's wrap this up.
Is there anything you need to plug, sir?
Right off the cuff, no. Oh, wait, no. If you're in New Jersey, if you're in the Maplewood, New Jersey area, on this coming Saturday, the 26th, I will be at a storytelling show at the Bergdorf Center in Maplewood, New Jersey. You can find out more on my website, DarrenCredible.com, or check me out on Twitter, @DarrenCredible. That's D-A-R-I-N, credible.
And this is January 26th.
January 26th, yes.
So if you're listening to this after January 26th...
Then don't come.
You are SOL.
Yeah, you blew it.
You missed them.
You missed him. You lost out. You broke my heart. You blew your big shot, man.
And in the other world of comics, I got something to plug. My latest issue, my latest article in Back Issue magazine from Tomorrow's, in issue 110, I have an article about writing Daredevil with former Daredevil writers Ann Nocenti and Mark Waid. It's a transcript of a Comic Con panel I did with him a couple years ago.
Oh, far
and
out.
They all talk about writing The Man Without Fear, Daredevil.
Ooh.
And yeah, it's fun. It's fun. So that's in Comic Shop now. Yeah. So check it out, or you can order it on tomorrows.com.
Check it out.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Trumbull Comic.
All right.
That's where I am.
That's where he is.
You know, hit me up. We'll talk about MTV VJs.
Yes. Just, if you have any MTV VJs you want to know more about, we'll look them up. We'll tell you exactly what Downtown Julie Brown's up to.
Exactly. Tell us your Ricky Rockman thoughts.
Tell us your thoughts on Just Say Julie.
Yeah.
Kevin Seal, Sportin' Fool.
Mm-hmm.
The Remote Control. God, I love Remote Control. That show was...
Oh, Kenny wasn't like the other kids.
Yeah. Remote Control. TV mattered. Nothing else.
That was where Carrie Werher got her start.
Yeah, and Adam Sandler.
That's right. He was doing bit parts.
Yeah, he was the stud boy.
I remember that.
God, I love that. I really liked it. All right, this is we're going.
Okay, we'll probably continue this off air because we've gone on as we do.
Tell us your Remote Control thoughts too. Tweet.
That's
us.
Right. That's right. So and check us out on Facebook. We're there. We have a page SNL Nerds or hashtag SNL Nerds on Twitter. And you can go to non-productive.com and contribute to the Patreon there.
Yeah.
And support all the shows on the non-productive.
Yeah. Please donate some money. Help us keep the lights on and leave good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Or bad reviews. Or no, don't leave
any reviews. We need some more reviews on the iTunes and the Stitcher and all those places.
Yeah. It's been a minute. Just
we need to boost this. We last got some in November and we appreciate those. We love you for doing those.
Thank you.
But give us some more. We're greedy. We need a lot of love.
Yes. Gimme.
We have holes in our hearts that can only be filled by iTunes reviews.
Oh, shit.
There's a hole in my heart that can only be filled by you.
Wholehearted.
We'll see you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.